Well, brothers and sisters, you might know that at the memorial to the reformers that stands in Geneva today, it's a kind of a carved frieze and relief of the great reformers. Above the carved appearance of John Knox, the Scottish reformer, are the words, "One man with God is always in the majority." One man who stands with God is always in the majority. That's often popularized as one plus God is a majority. Now, I don't know whether Knox actually said those specific words, but they really capture the faith that he had in the Lord that made him so courageous when he stood for gospel truth against the crown, against armies. And I think it's a phrase that really sums up well the spirit of our verse this evening. The spirit of boldness and confidence we can have as believers, no matter who is against us. The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? So I just want us to consider this word tonight as a very encouraging word for these difficult times that we're going through. And they are really a call to have faith, be bold, trust the Lord. Now, of course, this was a very fitting word for the author of Hebrews to share with the church. Remember, this letter, as originally given, is to Jewish believers who are suffering under persecution. And they were coming under such pressure that some of them were tempted to abandon the faith, to turn from the gospel to a kind of strange, Christless Judaism. So this is exactly the word they need to hear. The Lord is your helper. The Lord is on your side. Don't be afraid. What can man do to you? What can these flesh, these human beings who are but a breath, what can they do if the Lord is on your side? No matter how many of them they are, no matter how powerful they are, one plus God is a majority. So in this week, when wicked rulers have decriminalized abortion, they continue to appease and cover up for those who've raped children, and they voted to allow assisted suicide, it seems like, you know, all the powers that be, the forces of the state, are working against what's right. We could well be discouraged. But this is a word for us. The Lord is our helper. We will not be afraid. Now, the verse does highlight for us something that could be a real struggle in the Christian life. The fear of man. The fear of what people may think of us or say about us or even do to us. Now, that can be a powerful fear. It's one that can overwhelm us. It could cause us to sin, for our faith to fail. And it's a kind of fear and a temptation that the scriptures often address. Let me put it this way. If you ask the question, what can man do to me? The answer in one sense could be actually quite a lot. It's a lot quite that they could actually do. Wicked men opposed to God and opposed to righteousness, it might at first seem they can do a lot in this world against God and his people. They can defame and slander you. They can say all kinds of evil against you falsely and ruin your reputation, try to destroy your livelihood, isolate you. Oh, Christians, you know, they're so bigoted, they're haters. And this kind of trial, I'll confess, I found myself, is much harder than you think when someone attacks this way. What can man do to me? Well, they can physically assault and wound the Christian. Think of the numbers of Christians around the world who are suffering that way, perhaps even today. Parts of Africa and India, Christians are set on by mobs, houses are burnt, beaten, stoned. It's violence against God's people because they serve the Lord Jesus. The devil is filled with wrath because he knows that his time is short. The Apostle Paul himself was cruelly beaten several times, beaten with rods, whipped, stoned. What can man do to me? Well, sinful people can arrest and imprison the believer. Paul and Silas were in chains in Philippi. John Bunyan spent 13 years in Bedford Jail, a hole in the ground. There are saints in prison camps in North Korea today. The wicked can deprive us of liberty and lock up the Christian and throw away the key, hoping they'll be forgotten. What can man do to me? He can kill the Christian, the ultimate weapon of the persecutor. Stephen was stoned to death. The apostles, the vast majority of them, as far as we know, were martyred. And down through the centuries, there have been others. William Tyndale, killed for translating the Bible. Ridley and Latimer, for preaching the gospel. And many around the world. So it's understandable if Christians sometimes feel fear, as no doubt some of these Hebrew believers did. And under that pressure, it can overwhelm. But the answer to all these fears is the Lord is our helper. Who is our helper? No man, no creature, the Lord. The faithful, covenant-keeping God. The all-powerful I am. It is who the helper is that makes all the difference. Think of those powerful words that we know well in Isaiah 40. Again, given first in a time when God's people were so discouraged, when they knew their land was corrupt and far from God, and that the leaders of Israel were leading them to ruin, and there's just this tiny remnant of faithful believers still left, and they knew exile was coming, and judgment and persecution. And what is the comfort that God gives them? Behold your God. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Measured heaven with a span. The nations are as a drop in a bucket to him, counted like dust on the scales. Man in all his pomp and power is as nothing before him. Tiny and insignificant, he sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. To whom will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and look at the stars. He has created these things. He calls them all by name. Why do you say, O Jacob, my way is hidden from God? My just claim is passed over by my God. See, there's the fear. There's the unbelief. That's the struggle God's people sometimes have. When everything seems to be going wrong and evil seems to be triumphing, and at first there's no answer, God says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he does not grow faint nor weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak and strength to those who have no might. The answer to all these fears is, behold your God. The Lord is your helper. The sovereign Lord, in complete control of his enemies, he'll permit them to go so far as his designs permit. Even their harshest attacks are under his constraint. The devil's on a leash. And in his timing and wisdom, evil will rebound on itself. And there will be good and blessing for his people. And all the evil that might come will in the end be made to serve his purposes. All things work for good to those who love God. It will work to make his servants more and more like his son, to make them perfect inheritors of heaven. And everything that might seem in this world to be to a believer's loss and detriment will in the life of glory be to their reward and comfort. Every blow received, another crown. Every loss, everything stolen, recompensed 1,000 times over. The Lord helps. He sustains his people. He sustains them in impossible situations. He gives his people joy in the midst of suffering. His own presence, the greatest comfort of all. It's when Jeremiah's at the bottom of the well that God comes to him with those marvelous words in 31 and 32 and the promises of a new covenant, and he sees his Savior more clearly than ever. He gives his saints strength of heart, so strong, we'll pray for enemies, even as they strike us. We'll love them and we will bless them as they curse us. And even if a believer can temporarily falter, think of Peter. He denies the Lord because he's afraid. The Lord has grace to restore, to forgive, and to renew, just as Peter was. The Lord will vindicate his servants. He sees every injustice. He will bring it to judgment. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. As you heard Nahum say, that's a side of the character of God that is just as true of him as his love. The Lord avenges and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserves wrath for his enemies. What can man do? The Lord is the living God. He resurrects his people. He gives them eternal life. Man can take a life. God will give it back to his people. And doubly so. A new life that will never end. Immortal and holy and perfect. Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? What can man do to me? In the end, nothing. Nothing at all. Because the Lord is my helper. And the saint will stand victorious on the last day. So, brothers and sisters, this is a word to give us heart, to give us courage, to go through evil days, to face them full on, to go through suffering and hardship, and not to fear, but to trust the Lord. Now, as I'm sure you know, this verse in Hebrews is a quotation from Psalm 118. And when you look at Psalm 118 as a whole, its great theme is of God reversing the works of evil men. That's the thread that runs through the whole of the psalm. Like Psalm 2 we looked at this morning. It's about powerful rulers and leaders who oppose God and his Christ. And they seem to have all the advantages and all the numbers and all the power. But the Lord overrules. And no matter what men may do, Psalm 118 says, God will do what he wants. And so in the psalm, we hear the words of the Lord Jesus. And he's leading us. He's calling on us to rejoice in God, to praise God. And he says he suffered the worst at the hands of men. But by God's power, he's rescued. Verse 10 onwards. All the nations surrounded me, he says. They surrounded me like bees. I was pushed violently to make me fall. Verses 17 and 18, he faces death and the grave. Verse 22, he's rejected by the builders, the leaders. So here's the Lord Jesus and what man can do to him. Rejected and scorned and placed upon a cross. And he's surrounded by his jeering enemies. Here's the Roman Empire condemning him to death. They're the most powerful force in the world. But at every point, he says, the Lord is my helper. And so verse 10, he will bring judgment. I will destroy them. He will come again in judgment and every eye will see him. Verse 17, I shall not die. No, not ever again resurrected. Verse 19, the gates of heaven are open to him. Verse 22, the rejected stone is God's chief cornerstone. And so this is the theme of the whole psalm. Man at his worst. What can man do? can pour out hatred against Christ and his people. But God is our helper. God delivers. God saves. And of course, where Christ has gone, we will follow. And so really, it is the same message we've heard all the way through Hebrews. We must keep looking up and looking forward. Our eternal kingdom that cannot be shaken. Our true home. What does it matter if we lose everything in this world when we have everything in the next? Think about these words of Luther's hymn, "A mighty fortress is our God." And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them, abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. That's the spirit of this verse. So brothers and sisters, this verse is calling us to have faith. Faith now in evil days more than ever. To speak these words to ourselves. To grab hold of the truth and the promise that's in them. To declare it boldly. And there's a need that we've got to exercise our faith. Faith is more like a muscle than a reflex. Faith isn't just something that happens instinctively without thought. We're to stir ourselves up in our holy faith. We're to remind ourselves of these truths, that the Lord is our helper. If you feel discouraged and fearful, you feel that pressure of the darkness around us, and it feels overwhelming, well, perhaps the problem is in our faith, our failure to understand the real reality, what God says it is, to believe it and apply it to ourselves, that the Lord is our helper. Now is the time to have bold faith, to trust God. There's one very practical thought I want to offer you as a conclusion to this. And it's that there is an unfortunate chapter break here in Hebrews that might make us miss a very important truth. There's a break here between chapters 12 and 13. And remember, the chapters, they're not part of the original inspired words of God. They've been added many years later just to help us read the Bible. But sometimes that causes us to pause and miss a connection. Well, the key thought is this. Chapter 12 ends with a call to worship. A summons. Come to the heavenly mountain, to Zion above. Come and praise and worship God. Remember all the blessings and benefits that are ours that were described in that chapter. The salvation we have. We draw near in Christ through the blood of Christ. So come with reverence. Serve God, meaning worship God. And then chapter 13 has a list of several commands, ethical and moral instructions on how to live. Love one another. Be chaste. Don't covet. Don't be afraid. Now I want to put it to you, brothers and sisters, the key connection is this, that all these instructions flow out of worship. That it's as we worship and adore our mighty God in heaven, as we draw near to him, out of that a life of holiness emerges and comes to fruition. And it's worship that transforms and empowers us. And to have the spirit of the holy boldness in this verse 6, it will come as we worship God, as we look up and see the consuming fire that he is. Would you be bold and not afraid, not dismayed? Would you want to be able to say, I fear nothing, the Lord is my helper? Then it begins with worship, contemplating the awesome glory of the Lord, immense in holiness and power, the living God, faithful and just and true. And so in worship, let yourself be gripped by his glory. And as you worship, as you know him more and more, you will say, what can man do? May God give us such bold faith. When man is at his worst, God will be at his best. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father, you are truly awesome in power and majesty. You know all things, even the end from the beginning. Lord, you have ordained all things will be for your glory, that even your enemies will bow to your Son. You are a most gracious God who delights to save and show mercy. And so we pray, O Lord, that you would increase our understanding, our knowledge of you, that you would lead us, Lord, to worship you, to see your power and wisdom. And as we contemplate you, Lord, please fill us with a spirit of faith, the same spirit we see in Psalm 118. Help us, Lord, to know who you are, to rejoice that you are a helper. And we pray, Lord, you'd help us to face evil and suffering with great faith, great boldness. Please, Lord, in these evil days, may we shine all the brighter as your people and be more joyful, more loving, more bold. Help us, so we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.